Thank you, John, for the songs. Appreciate the words at the table and the prayer that has been offered. Thankful for all of you being here. You know, we live in a town where thanks is not given by everybody in this town every week as they celebrate their days off. We sadly have a town that has one of the lowest church attendance per capita towns in America. Aren't we proud of that? But you're here. And you're making the good choice. And just by your presence, in a very real way, you're saying thank you to God. You know, saying thank you is something that is somewhat of a lost art. There is one franchise you go to that's known for saying thank you. And I like to frequent that place because it's one place I can be treated nicely, you know. But we're about to come up on a holiday, a national holiday, where as a people, our country eats turkey and watches Detroit and Dallas. That used to be more fun than it is anymore. But and just be together as family. There's special times, I'm sure, that you've had with family with Thanksgiving. It was always one of my favorite holidays. My mother was the youngest of 8 children who were still surviving by the time I was born. And I can remember one year, but very, very fondly, each of my 8 aunts, well, 7 aunts plus my mother, wanted to make sure that I knew that I was loved. The way we do Thanksgiving is everybody just pitches in. And each of them knew I love pumpkin pie. So we had 8 pumpkin pies there for dinner. And I was in junior high, and this was the last year that pumpkin pie was my favorite pie. But I insulted no one. By the end of the day, I'd tasted each of their pies, and I thanked them each for their pie. The ones who baked those first 2 or 3 pieces, they were somehow or another much better cooks than those later ones. But how are you about saying thanks? I mean, it's an art form. It's such an easy thing to do, isn't it? Just to say thank you to people is something that we often will forget to do. I can remember living up in Columbus. One of our brethren's kids lived within just a few blocks of where we were, so very often we would give him a ride to wherever. And I remember he was like the only kid in the congregation. He'd get out of the car and he'd just get out. No, thank you. Yeah. Finally, when he hit, I guess he was probably 14 or 15, way too late to be getting this. He got out one day and he opened the car door and he leaned back in and he said, thank you. And I thought, yes, he is maturing. Yeah, I didn't need his thank you. It was about trying to see where is he. Do we think to thank the people around us for the blessings we're given? And most importantly, do we thank God for the blessings he gives us? In Psalm 69, verses 30 through 32, we see a very beautiful passage. The majority of this sermon will come just from these few verses. But the psalmist tells us, I will magnify God with thanksgiving. We're going to go to a lot of other verses to illustrate this. But I want you to think about what a huge idea that is, that you and I can magnify God. I will magnify God with thanksgiving. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. Are you aware of what a wonderful thing that is? The opportunity for you and for me to magnify God. Think about that just for a moment. In Philippians 1, verses 19 through 25, those of you who were here Wednesday night know that I referenced this passage as we thought about Adam and as we made an opportunity for those to confess Christ and become Christians. As I was looking at this passage and thinking about thankfulness and so forth this week, this really hit me strongly, and I'm purposely using the New King James Version here because of the way a certain word is rendered. Paul writes, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and the hope that is that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire and to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." That phrase, that Christ will be magnified in my body, whether through life or by death, is interesting. The difference between the King James and the New King James and what you may be reading, honoring God or praising God or exalting God, the difference is not a textual problem. It's a translation problem. And I think the translation problem is just that the translators get there and they think, how can you magnify God? I mean, think about that. That's what the word really means. It says that, in Matthew's account, I think in Matthew 23, when it speaks of the Pharisees who made large their phylacteries and the fringes and the religious things on their clothing, that's the very same word. They make them large. How do you take an infinite-sized God and make him bigger? That's the translator's problem. Well, I want you to think about that. I mean, the job, this is not even a close comparison. But I want you to imagine just a little flea over, and I started to say flea. A flea is on a living being. Take a gnat upon some rotting corpse, okay, and it's right over here on the ground, and it's looking up at me, and it decides, I'm going to make you larger. Really? It can't do that, can it? I think that's why the translators have changed the way they're looking at that passage. But I'd suggest that it's a wrong view of what the word is meaning to describe. If you think of maybe something Brother Todd would use in his trade, think of a microscope. You look through a microscope and it magnifies something and it makes it so much larger than it really is. You know, con men do that with the stuff they're selling. Or have you ever gone through, you go through Tennessee, it seems like as soon as you cross that state line, you see this big old fireworks store. Have you ever noticed those? You know, it's got a big sign of nervous fellow or whatever, and the sign is so large, and you think this has got to be a gigantic store. But if you were to walk in there, you'd realize it's all sign and no store. You know, I think the translators think that we're saying we're going to do that with God. That's not the case. I forgot my astronomy. I think it's Arcturus, but think of one of your largest stars ever, and how wondrous that is, and how that displays the glory of God. When you take a telescope and you look through that, you're making it larger, aren't you? But with a telescope, you're simply taking something that, because of distance, because of the distance from us, it appears smaller than it really is. And when you look through a telescope, what you're doing is you're beginning, only beginning, to realize just how large the thing is. I think this is what Paul says. I think this is what the psalmist is saying when he says we must magnify God. It's not that we're taking a little God and trying to make more of him than he is. No, we have an infinitely large God who in too many people's lives is distant from them and has been made smaller than he really is. And we just want to bring him right back into focus for the people who are around him. We are to magnify God in our body. And our friend Adam, this past week, he magnified God even in his death. I by fluke just finally joined the Facebook world here this past about a week and a half ago. And I'm grateful. I have more than five friends. I'm so excited by that. One of my real friends in life, he let me become his 4,895th friend. I was so honored. But I joined that world just in time to really to learn of Adam. I'd met Adam at a camp a few times, but his dad I know really well, so I was watching it closely. And I tell you, all the choices that Adam was making in life were magnifying God kind of choices. And I think he's helped me this week. I'll bet you there are thousands of people across America today who could say truthfully, Adam Smeltzer helped me. He helped me to be better, a better servant of God. Well, let's look at this quickly this morning and see what we can learn. In Psalm 40 and verse 16, we're told, may all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. May those who love thy salvation continually say, great is the Lord. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, he says in Psalm 48 and in verse 1. Indeed, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, the psalmist says in Psalm 34 and verse 3. So in everything we do, we are to be magnifying God. Paul puts it a different way. He uses a different word in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 when he says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, we understand that he's saying within whether you eat meat, sacrifice to idols and so forth is the specific that he's talking about. But the application is every last thing you do in life needs to be glorifying God. Paul could say that with a straight face. Everything I do is glorifying God. Could you make that assertion? I've got to confess to you that I'm not always up here. I'm not everything I do. But that's my goal. My goal is to be like Paul, to be glorifying God in everything I do. That's one of the ways we magnify him and give him the praise that he's due. Well, in this passage in Philippians 1 and in verse 20, Christ will be magnified in my body. And I ask you again to think about this and ask yourself, is that true of me? Am I a telescope who will bring God closer to the people of this world? Or am I unthankful? Am I disregarding who God is? I want you to think hard about this morning. Can we just pray just for a second? Because I think we all need an attitude that will make this more possible. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are so great and we are so small. We often feel that our lives are insignificant in the scope of this great world that is about us. There are so many people around who need you. And Father, we would pray that you would help us to examine our hearts. Help us that we might glorify you and magnify you in all things. Father, we acknowledge that not everyone here is longing to magnify you and to glorify you as they should. Some of us fail from time to time. Others haven't made that decision at all. But we pray as we contemplate your goodness and your mercy and your power and wisdom. Father, we pray that those lives would be touched. That they would see how infinitely large you are and come to you even this morning. Father, purify our hearts. Correct our lives so that we can do this deed for you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. as you look at that, the idea of magnifying God with thanksgiving, what we're saying is we're simply acknowledging how big He is. I've watched sometimes little ones will get mad at their parents. Did you go through this with any of you? My kids have always been very grateful, very thank you, you know. But sometimes they get mad, you know. And because they had that anger going, where they would normally say thank you for what you're giving them, they just take it, you know. It is hard to express thanks to someone that you see as being less than you, or that you're angry at, or any of those problems. And I think sometimes that's in the way of a lot of people's lives. They haven't seen the goodness of God. They see but trouble in the world, and they get angry at God, and therefore they're not thankful. And they're not going to say words they don't mean. Well, I wouldn't encourage you to be a hypocrite, but I'd tell you, He does command us to say our thanks to Him. We must magnify God with thanksgiving. When we look at the created world, Paul makes the point in Romans 1 and verse 20, ever since the creation of the world, His invisible nature, namely His eternal power and deity, has clearly been perceived in the things that have been made. So men are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or give Him thanks. Paul uses that as a starting point to say that the downward spiral into this cesspool of sin that so many are living in begins when we forget to say thank you to God. I know we say count your many blessings, name them one by one, but I'd ask you to thank God for your every blessing and name them one by one. Every day and every way, find ways to say thank you to God. Because it isn't that God needs the thanks any more than I needed the thanks of letting the young man off when I'd taken him for a ride. We need to say thank you for who that will make us and what that can accomplish in our lives. In Psalm 103 in verse 2, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Are you strong about that? As the psalmist Asaph says in Psalm 77, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. Listen, part of the reason we study the Bible isn't just, well, what's the manual? What does it say I can and cannot do? No, we study the Bible to study our God and see what He can do and what He will not do. We come to love a God who is so wondrous and yet willing to bow His ear and to listen to us. Even in our day-to-day conversations, Malachi says, and I think it's Malachi 3 down about verse 17, that though when those who feared the Lord came together and talked one to another, the Lord hearkened and heard them, and their names were written in the book of life. What do you think they were talking about? They were talking about a great God that we worship. And that is what they were musing upon, is the deeds and the works that God has done in our lives. And can I be very, very candid about that? We don't do that enough. We know to say thank you, but I ask you, when good things happen, do you attribute that to God if you've been praying about it? So many of our prayers are our petitions of give me this and give me that and give me this, but no thanks. We need to thank God for all the stuff we see in life. I'm reminded, my friend Phil Roberts, he said that he once went to dinner at somebody's house and they let the little one lead the prayer. And the young man came to one section of the prayer and he said, and thank you God for the gravel. Phil thought about it. Gravel? How do you thank God for rocks? How can you thank God for... But then you got to think, and you know, if you're about 5 years old, gravel's a pretty cool thing. And God's who gives us gravel. Everything we have in life, it is, if it's good, we need to thank God for that. And we best not be offering up prayers and petitions without saying thank you when he answers them. Think how many petitions have been answered this year by people in this room. And it will magnify God in our lives and in our hearts. Well, so how do we telescope God's great power? The psalmist says, Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Listen, don't worry about going on and making too much of God. You can't do that. You know, if you're Bob's age, you probably can remember. There was a comedian, Jack Benny, you know. You remember Jack? Okay. Well, I remember seeing film of him where he would say things like you know, somebody would be complimenting him and he'd say, it's too much. Go on. And they'd stop. And Mr. Benny would say, no, go on. See, I think a lot of us are that way with compliments. We like to hear them, and we know the proper thing is, go on, you know. But you can't go on too long in thanking the God of heaven. If you're worried, I thank God too much, he's going to get upset with that. I'm here to dispel that notion this morning. We don't need a day a year. We need a year of days that say, thank you, God. And that's how we become telescopes of God's great power and wisdom. In Revelation 11 and verse 17, John writes, we give you thanks, O Lord, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. We need to thank God when we see him reigning, when we see him working. Oh, both the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him all things are. To him be glory and glory forever and ever. Let God have the glory. Magnify God forever. Wouldn't you love it if your friend's accusation against you is, that woman? She's just praising God all the time. She's just so thankful. It's kind of annoying to be around her. That's not going to happen, is it? No one's going to look down on you for praising God. And I would encourage you, as you go into this week, to do that. One of my discoveries on Facebook. There's several people. I don't know if they're working up to Thanksgiving. But several people are doing 40 days of thanks right now. What a good exercise. I hope they'll not stop at 40. I hope that it will be entrenched and become a habit for them to constantly give thanks to God. Well, several more of these. We see the wisdom of God, that he founded the earth and the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. I am so glad that we have the wisdom and the knowledge of God to turn to. If you love the Bible, you understand that that's a manual that helps me live better. I was talking to a young lady in a department store just the other night. Here she was, 23 years of age. She was living with the second man that she had ever cohabited with. And she said, I don't know if he loves me. Her life is going to get a lot more awful than what she was describing to me if she doesn't learn that God's rules are never burdensome. They're for our good only. We need to look at all of the Bible and understand we have an insight into the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge of the one who made this whole place, who rules this whole place, and we get to work in conformity with him. We need to be telescopes. We need to remember his mercy. Psalm 57 verse 10 says, for your loving kindness is great to the heavens and your truth to the clouds. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. I tell you, we need to be careful when we talk to others about where we are in life. They may think that we just are so smart that we figured it out. No, God's mercy has changed us. God's grace has given us opportunity. And we need to be thankful for that. In Psalm 103, we're told, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." Did you give thanks to God for that this week? I think most of us would. I think all of us know we should. But if you haven't been thanking God for his infinite mercy, maybe you don't understand the price of the cost, the price of the cross. God loves us, and we need to make much of his mercy. So then, to truly magnify God with thanksgiving, coming back to the Psalm 69, you might note that that's a messianic psalm. A psalm that is full of people doing evil things to the Messiah. When he's delivered from all of that is when this section comes. And he says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive." Do you see what's going on there? There's two things that are going on. Let me go back. He says that God prefers this to any commands that he's given. Just simply giving him thanks is something God greatly desires. Look, there are just two kinds of people in the world. Psalm 35 and verse 37 says, "Let them shout with joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. Let them say continually, 'The Lord be magnified,' who delights in the prosperity of his servant." I hope that's your song. I think that's the song of many who are gathered here this morning. But you may be not yet willing to magnify God that way. And the psalmist speaks of that in the previous verse. In Psalm 35 and verse 26, he says, "Let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether who rejoice at my distress. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor who magnify themselves over me." Look, you will either be a person who magnifies God and says, "I want to give him praise and honor and glory. I want to give him thanks always." Or you're going to be a person who's saying, "I want to magnify myself. I want to make myself bigger and larger. I want to do like the microscope on myself instead of being the telescope for God." Those eternally, those are the only two kinds of people there are. You are either magnifying God, and that's what we hope you're doing, or you're magnifying self. When we sin, we're magnifying self. "Oh, I know there's a ruler, sovereign ruler of the universe, but I'm just going to break that rule." Well, you think an awful lot of yourself when you sin. Thankful people do not sin. And to the degree we sin, we are unthankful and ungrateful. I love this. "I will magnify God with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs." Why is that? Well, he says in Psalm 50 that, "I shall take no young bull out of your house nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." Do you see that? There's nothing you can bring him and say, "Here, God, I want to impress you with this." He already owns that. But to say thank you, to express true gratitude from a heart born of love, God desires that because he has chosen to set this whole cosmic universe in such a way that that's the only thing that we have to offer him. It's the only thing he doesn't already own. He owns the right to it, but no. If we're not giving him thanks, we're not operating in the way he has created us. Psalm 50 and verse 23 says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." Psalm 51 and verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." Why is that? It's because that person is able to say, "Thank you, God." And mean it. Not just, "Well, I know I'm supposed to say thank you." No, I know that I'm broken. I wouldn't be making it without God. There's nothing I can do that I would merit your smile upon me. And that's why he asked for the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. Well, therefore, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Over and over again, we see in the Old Testament especially this need to magnify God, to bring him near and let others see his goodness. Now notice this, as we contemplate this week, the previous verse to what we've been reading says, "But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high." And then we haven't been emphasizing verse 32. It says, "Let the oppressed see it and be glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners." I ask you this morning, if you've been one of those who've been standing outside of the family of God and you haven't been thanking him, he longs for you to be saved. And the result of salvation is to simply turn to God and say, I realize I wasn't making it. But with you, O God, with you, I can make it indeed. Let's magnify God. Let's go out there, do our very best to be telescopes, bringing the God of heaven more into other people's lives. It's a simple task. It's just thanking him for what he's given us. It's what we were created to do. And I ask you, if you're not yet a Christian, if you have been unthankful and ungrateful, thinking you could do it your own way, maybe today, maybe you're broken. Maybe you're ready now to say, you know, my way ain't so great. I want the way of the great God of heaven. We can help you with that, to be baptized for the remission of your sins and to receive a salvation where he can place you on high. We can help you with that. Will you not come as together we stand?